Hey guys, welcome to episode 128 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, as ever, as reliable as ever. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but we're back with a hopefully a bang.
Hopefully, mate. Big fight card this weekend. Good performances last weekend. Aye, let's plenty to talk about, I think. Anyway, can make a decent show at it.
Definitely, definitely. How are you, mate? You good?
I'm not bad, mate. How are you?
All right.
How's your new job? Is it all good?
Aye, back to a normal working day, so it's kind of decent.
You're not tired all the time?
No, I'm not tired all the time.
You're funny going here, you're just moaning about being tired every single week.
I'm definitely not tired. I'm a wee bit tired because of the COVID, I think. I find myself struggling some days. Like, you get to the end of the day and I'm literally, like, you know, falling asleep on the couch, but... I think that's maybe, they did say like a fatigue can last a few weeks after you've had it. So,
Hopefully that'll be long and that'll be kept at your system for Christmas anyway, and then.
Oh, it's the fucking, it's my taste. I want my taste back. This is killing me, man. Nobody would taste nothing. What?
No tasting it? No.
No, I don't tell you that.
No, you never told me that, but.
Oh, shit. No, I can't smell or taste at all.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's fucked, mate. It's the weirdest thing ever.
I can't imagine, but that's like two of your five senses gone, man. That's just...
Yeah, it was,
and you know, my nose is horrendous anyway. I can't actually smell anything in general. A wee man could be shitting everywhere and I probably wouldn't even smell it unless I can see it.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of fucked.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. My nose is fucked. My eyes are fucking incredible, but my nose is shit.
Yeah.
I've got one sense that's good. That's what it matters.
What, taste?
No, sight. I mean, my taste is shite. I don't know if anything's fucking sour or sweet. I don't know what the fucking difference is. I just know if I like it or not, and that's my lot.
There you go. At least you can taste. I can't. Anyway, enough about the COVID. Let's move on. So this week, guys, we'll obviously have a look back at Font versus Aldo. We could have went back a couple of weeks, but there's nothing very memorable from back then. I can't even really remember, to be honest. We'll then look forward to the... Oh, actually, no, one thing we do need to go back and look at, it was the final of the strawweight. No. Straw?
Atomweight,
one championship, Grand Prix. We'll talk a wee tiny bit on that because we made a big deal of it over the last couple of weeks. So we'll do something on that. And then this week, we'll look forward to this week, guys. Two Cage Warriors cards and the UFC pay-per-view, the last pay-per-view of the year. Massive, massive event. So we'll look at that, and then Mark will run down his news and his fight predictions of the week. So we'll start with Font versus Aldo. UFC on ESPN, Font versus Aldo, also known as UFC on ESPN 31 and UFC Vegas 44. Hopefully we start getting back on the road with these soon. Don't know when. They've not really actually announced any sort of plans really to start, have they? But
I think until everything's properly back to normal, I don't see fight nights going anywhere outside the Apex anytime soon.
Yeah, I can't disagree, mate, to be honest. It just would be, I mean, listen, I like the Apex because I like the smaller octagon. I think the smaller octagon is amazing.
That's tremendous, mate.
It doesn't always necessarily make for better fights, but I think sometimes it does, especially with the heavyweights.
Bigger boys, I definitely makes a massive difference with the big boys because they can't run, they can't hide.
Yeah, that's it. So I would, I'd even campaign to keep the smaller octagon if it was me. But hey, listen, I don't make the rules. But yeah, hopefully they'll move back out on the road soon. It is always good to have a crowd, mate. There's nothing better. But anyway, this was also headlined by the UFC bantamweight title eliminator, you could call it, between Jose Aldo and Rob Font. You and I could probably spend the next 15, 20 minutes waxing lyrical about Jose Aldo, and then we realise halfway through the conversation that Aldo's only ever actually been beat by, you know, people who are decent, except for maybe Marlon Moraes. And then we could talk about him going forward in title chances, but it just feels like a complete waste to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that seems like that's what the podcast is supposed to be, and that's what we're supposed to talk about, but it feels like we're having kind of the same conversation about Aldo we had last time.
I think I know. This is a massive step forward towards that title shot again. No doubt about that. I still think there's one fight there to be made to get that title shot.
It's the fight to make, mate. TJ versus Aldo is 100% what I want to see.
I really think that's the fight everybody's wanting to see now, without doubt. If you look at timelines between when TJ is going to be back, when probably Aldo is going to be back, when the Aldo Yan fight would be made, when TJ Aldo would be made, they would all probably come together around about maybe March, April, May time. And it would just be absolutely fucking perfect that maybe towards the end of the summer, July, August time, you could definitely have a title shot between the basically one of the two fights. But Aldo was sensational. I don't know, it was like the old vintage Aldo. It wasn't even rolling back the years. It was just proper, like, Aldo at his best. That's the thing. Like, we know how good Aldo's been over the years. There's obviously serious conversation. Is he the greatest featherweight of all time? Arguably. But there's others in that conversation now. Max Holloway, Volkanovski. You can't really disagree with either two of them because of what they've done now. But he's been doing it bantamweight. He's had decent performances. He's had his few losses. Obviously, to Moraes and Yanni start him off. And I think everybody kind of thought, well, was this the right thing? But then that's boom, three in the spin. Rob Font, obviously the best of the three of them so far. So he still needs that top class one for me, because I think Rob Font's a decent fighter, but I don't think he's ever going to be a title holder. He's never going to get a belt, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I don't think he's on the level with guys like Yan and Sterling and Aldo, TJ. I totally agree with you. I think that there's that one more fight for Aldo to see if he's really got it at bantam as well, because we don't really know if that's the thing. At bantamweight, he's had five fights. He's lost two to Moraes, Yan, and one against Chito, Pedro Munoz, and Rob Font. It'd be good to see him fight TJ and find out how good he is. I just think how professional he's been. People think he's not an old man. Do you know what I mean? He's only a year older than Font.
He's definitely not an old man. Do you know what I mean? He's
35, mate. Do you know what I mean? He's got a couple of years left him at a top level if he wants to be, if he's willing to keep dropping the weight. I reckon he'll only get one chance. I think if he doesn't beat TJ, I don't think he'll get another chance, if I'm honest.
No, I think this could be his kind of last title run as such. I don't see... If you need three or four fights to get back into the title picture, to get back towards a title fight, has he really got that time in him after the next, say, two fights? Maybe, say, he did beat TJ, went into that final fight, he got the fight for the title. After that, another three or four fights, has he got that three or four fights in him to get to the title? I'd be surprised. Definitely probably his last shot at the title this time around. And prefer he's making a good fist to getting there, because Saturday night, as we say, it was one of the best performances we've seen from him for a long, long time. There's no doubt about that. He was absolutely sensational. Didn't give Rob Font a chance. I think Rob had moments here and there, but nothing. I don't think we were ever worried that Aldo was not going to win the fight, if you know what I mean. Thought Aldo was going to win the fight.
The scorecards, there was two different scorecards. Obviously, 250-45s and a 49-46. See, to be honest, see if somebody had scored the first two rounds for Rob Font, I wouldn't have probably been that disgusted.
I gave him the first, if anything.
I think I actually scored the first for Aldo because of the knockdown, to be honest.
That was the thing. It was how late the knockdown was. The thing in me, I wasn't sure if maybe the 4.5 minutes worth of work was worth more than the knockdown.
Yeah, but then again, he was doing work before that and he was hitting Font. It wasn't as if he was massively out of it. I think if you hadn't knocked him down, it would have been the Font round. Listen, if you give Font the first round, I'm not complaining, mate. 49-46 for me is absolutely fine. Aldo won the fight by a country mile. I don't think Font's stock maybe has dipped that much here, because although it was possibly very one-sided, it wasn't horrific. It wasn't as if we're looking at Rob Font thinking, Rob Font's done.
As much as he could beat up for 25 minutes, he didn't look like he could beat up for 25 minutes. You know what I mean? His face wasn't totally mashed.
The two of them looked the same. The two of them had the same, one of their eyes was kind of fucked. Both of them, Aldo and Font. So it maybe just shows that it was maybe a lot closer than what people think. That, okay, Aldo won, four or five rounds of the five rounds, but it was probably a lot closer than what people think,
Yeah, definitely. I think the scorecards make it look massively wide. As much as, yes, Aldo won pretty much every round. I don't think anybody's unsure of that. within the rounds, there was moments, there was times that Rob Font did show his quality, but he just wasn't up to Aldo's standard, and that's the thing, man. This is one of the greatest fighters of all time, anyway, to be honest. And Rob Font just wasn't there.
Well, there you go, right? There you go. Significant strikes, right? Thrown. I'll give you the two numbers, and you tell me how which way round this goes. 305 and 161.
I'd probably say Font was a busier, but the quality was better at Aldo.
I would see, that's the thing, though, mate. Like, this is the whole point. This is kind of why where you would think, you know, looking at these stats, right? Looking at the stats, Font had 2 minutes of control time. Aldo had 9. Font had 1 takedown. Aldo had none. Aldo had 1 submission attempt. Font had none. Font landed 48% of his significant strikes. Aldo only 53%. It wasn't a massive difference. Aldo only landed 86 and Font landed 149. So if you're looking at the fight stats and you don't know who won that fight, who wins that fight on paper? Rob Font. But it doesn't always work like that because obviously it's run by
Wayne. No, fights aren't decided on paper. Like I say, they aren't decided on paper, but they technically are because the decisions are put in the paper. You know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at? Yeah.
No, of course, I totally agree, mate. I'm just saying it probably wasn't as like distant as what people thought. It's not as, you look at that and you think 50-45, fuck, that was awfully one-sided. But on the face of it, it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was a clinic for Aldo at times. It was honestly, as I say, it was one of the best films you've seen for a long time. I'm buzzing to see this TJ fight. It better happen. That better be the fight we get. TJ better not piss out and decide that he just thinks that the dodgy win over Sanhagen means he deserves a shot next, basically. Whoever wins between Aldo and Yanni, better not piss out and do that. He better just stand up, fight Aldo, man. That would be, that'd be a great thing for TJ's record as well, let's be honest. As much as TJ's obviously had his demons as such, I'll say demons is the right words. He was a bit of a cheating bastard for a bit, was probably the best way to put it. I was just trying to think of a nice way to put that. Then I was like, actually, I know something, I've not got one. He's still done some great things over the years, so to put that name on your record as well would be sensational for TJ. So I think from both points of view, I think it's definitely a fight to make. We've got to get it. We've got to get it around about April, May time would be brilliant. And then just go from there, man. It's an exciting division. Everything seems to kind of be working out in the division a wee bit now. It seems to be kind of, there's a few guys coming through there, but the kind of top 4-5 guys are kind of pretty set at the moment. And I don't think there's any doubt that probably the top 4 guys are probably the best 4 guys in the world at the moment, without doubt.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right, moving swiftly on. Rafael Fiziev versus Brad Riddell.
Mate, the actual fight wasn't great. I was thinking Riddell, mate, I went on to win the fight if it wasn't for that kick, honestly. I was quite disappointed in Fiziev because I think he's fucking class. Whenever I've seen him, I thought, wow, mate, you're something special, mate. You really are. I know he lost his first fight to Mustaev already years ago, a couple of years back now. He's been pretty spot on since, man. Meccano as a good one, looking fucking back, beating Bobby Green, man. The way Bobby Green's performing at the moment, that's a fucking tremendous one. Do you know what I mean? It had back in August there. So, I was disappointed with Fiziev's performance, but like, see, when you've got toys like that in your arsenal or weapons like that in your arsenal, like, you could pull that out at any moment, and he did that. And I'm gutted for Riddell as well, as I said, because I probably had him winning the fight at that point. When he did get fucking knocked out. So I think he'll be absolutely raging with himself. But you can't understate the quality of that kick and how sensational it was, to be honest.
It's gutting for Riddell because, I mean, that was... Obviously, he's not lost a fight since way back in before he signed for UFC. Do you know what I mean? He was 9-10-1, mate. Do you know what I mean? So he's no mug. That was probably...
He's a tremendous fighter, Brad Riddell. He's a very, very, very good fighter, mate. And you've seen that with his performances over the last wee while, as you say.
It was two guys at a very similar level, similar records, similar win streak. I think your man Fiziev had 4 in the UFC, and so did Riddell. So it was basically a kind of, let's see, who's the best of the up-and-comers. You know, Fiziev's
28. Riddell was a good one of them. Riddell was actually beating Mustaev, whereas Fiziev couldn't do that at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also beaten Drew Dober, who was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a guy coming through, do you know what I mean? So, Yeah, so. But the fight was a bit meh.
Yeah, it was the best fight. As I said, Riddell was definitely winning it, so gutted for him. But Fizier's knockout, man, fucking sensational, man. That's the quality the guy's got. But we need to see it more. He needs to do that kind of thing more for me, definitely, because he's got it there, and it just needs to happen more, man. He's got these sensational knockouts. We don't see enough of them.
Yeah. Talking about sensational knockouts, I mean, wow.
Yeah, I did not expect this. I don't know what I expected for Jamal Hill. Like, obviously, Big Paul fucking snapped his fucking arm at fourth out. Oh, well, he did snap his arm.
I think Jamal kind of, I don't know, he didn't have a point to prove, because obviously he's beat Stozic, he had a no contest against Abreu, he beat OSP, okay, he's been done for marijuana, he obviously lost to Paul Craig with a submission, right? Wow, they've got that done as a TKO, elbows and punches. Against Paul Craig.
Finished with that, mean, do you remember he broke his arm? He dislocated, he broke his arm during it, and he had to actually fucking finish him, basically, you know what I mean?
And then I think it's not as if he had a point to prove, because obviously you've got two wins and a no contest. You know, he's an up and comer. He didn't have something to prove, but at the same time, after getting beat by Paul Craig, you know, that was a kind of, Paul Craig get ranked after that, so there was obviously a wee bit in Jamal Hill where he's like, I need to go here and I need to make a fucking statement. You've said it a million times before, mate, right? And it's something I've not always agreed with you. Depends on the way you beat somebody, how it plays. And I don't necessarily agree with that at a very, very top level, but at that kind of level, I totally agree with you. If that had went 15 minutes, it had been a 29-28, it had been a back and forward. I mean, I probably would have been a bit like, oh, okay, I will. But then now I'm buzzing about Jamal Hill because he smashed Jimmy Crute's face in. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. Like, Hill came into the UFC, had a bit of rep behind him and such. Obviously, he was 6-0 after his winning contender series into the UFC. He beat Darko Stojic, which was a decent win. Obviously, no 10. And he was getting a wee bit of roll, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's OSP. Now, OSP, as much as he's probably over the hill and Hill fight on the other side, he's a bit of a legend in the game, do you know what I mean? It's a big step up, really. And the UFC were pushing Hill quite far, quite fast, because they obviously realised the potential. And probably a bit of star power, because there is something about Hill, I think, has got that star power about him.
I
think UFC wanted to push him and get him there. Well, obviously, Paul Craig fucking derailed that train quite quickly. And I think he had to get that ticket and get back on that and properly get a driver at the front of the train and let's fucking go again. And I think on Saturday, after knocking out Jimmy Crute with a punch, I think you've got to say he's fucking done that. The train is back on the track and it's fucking going somewhere. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I would agree. I don't think Paul Craig derailed it as such. I think definitely...
I wasn't on the same path as, put it that way. I wasn't on the same tracks.
It stopped at a station a bit longer than what it probably should have. But yeah, no, I mean, honestly, mate, 48 seconds. I mean, it says punches, but let's face it, it was one punch. It was just
that punch finished him, mate.
Absolutely just savage, man.
There was really probably no need for other ones, to be honest. It was that one punch that just fucking sparked him, man. It was class.
I would just like to say something, okay?
Go for it.
I would like to say that a fourth degree black belt, right? A fourth degree black belt. Fourth degree. Not only is a fourth degree black belt, right? He's a fourth degree black belt Brazilian, right? Got choked out by fucking Clay Guida. Now, I don't know if Clay Guida's a fucking black belt. I've no idea, to be honest with you. It doesn't even say on his Wikipedia page. But, I mean, holy shit, mate! Like I'm utterly, utterly dumbfounded. Of all the ways that fight was going to,
I think if you just write that on paper that Clay Guida choked out a fourth degree black belt on paper and said that's how he won the fight, I think would be a bit unfair to Leonardo Santos, to be honest, because
Santos smashed him.
Yeah, like in that first round, Santos fucking put Clay Guida in a hole, fucking buried him. Shut the casket, fucking buried him, put 6 foot earth and tap him, put the headstone up, and went to the referee, right, we're done. And all of a sudden, he's rose for the dead, literally rose for the dead, and somehow finished him. Because fucking Santos was fucked. I don't think Santos could lift his body to even try and fight off the choke. So, Look, aye, as you say, it was sensational that Clu Guida has finished a fourth degree black belt with a choke, but there is a lot of backstory to how it got to that point.
Of course.
I think it's fair to say that Leonardo Santos was extremely unlucky not to come away from there with a win, because for me, it should have been stopped at some point in the first round. I think Clu Guida got one, maybe too many chances.
I don't think it should have been stopped in the first round. I think if the first round had went maybe another 30 seconds, it would have been stopped. But, nah.
There's one point I'm sure Guida just fell forward. And because he grabbed a leg, it makes it look as though he was fine.
Yeah, I suppose.
It made him look like, oh, he's grabbed that leg. Like, he could have, for me, he was out, but maybe he was only out for fucking milliseconds. And he just went, oh, there's a fucking foot. I'm going to grab that. And it makes it look as though he's fine.
It's funny, man, because you look at that, Los Santos, like, smashed him, as you say, and could have went another way, and Clay Guida's choked him out and then ended up with a 50k bonus as well. It's just, like, it's savage, mate.
It's ridiculous. Santos would be getting him like, fucking, what's the point in it, man? If I do that in the first round and I don't even get him away with a win and a bonus, what fucking chance you got?
Although I hate it, right, Santos has got one of the best KOs I've seen when he smashed Stevie Ray in the face.
Yeah, that was tremendous, sadly. It was absolutely sensational. It was just one of those, wasn't it, man? It was a sensational knockout at the time. But
there's quite a lot of stuff we can talk about in this card. And as I keep saying to you, it's maybe not worth going through the whole card because it gets a bit stale. So, special mentions from now on only. Quick mentions, anything on the rest of this you want to talk about?
It's difficult because it's difficult to say because you probably could, as you say, talk about every single fucking fight in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And fair play to Chris Curtis, by the way. I think that was a tough challenge you got with Brendan Allen. I think fair play to you, man. Absolutely brilliant. To come through that again after, let's be honest, people doubted him even for his first fight. And then,
see, to be fair, mate, Brendan Allen looked like he was going to smash him up, to be fair.
For me, he should have done. But
Chris Curtis, listen, took his chance, mate. You know, it was class day knees. Although, see the second knee?
Aye.
They didn't really look at it on the thing, right? But I swear to God, he was very close to having his arse on the ground when he kneed him in the face the second time, by the way. Okay, he was out from the first knee, so it wouldn't really have made any difference. But that second knee was close, I'm telling you. Maybe a wee bit closer than what people say, but... listen, great for Chris Curtis, mate. Chuff for him. Brilliant result. He just seems like a nice guy. And Brendan seems like a bit of a dick.
That's the thing, he just seems so
down
to earth. Seems so thingy for where he is. He's such grateful, kind of thing, for where he is and how he's got.
Talking of special mentions, obviously, you've got the finishes, the knee bar was class out of nowhere. Vince Morales smashing Louis Smoker. That was mental. Manal Kapp, pretty much a standing knockout against Zumagulov. I love Manal Kapp, by the way.
It's good to see that Manal Kapp. Obviously, his first couple of fights, UFC didn't go his way, but it's good to see him back on form now.
Mackie Patolo shat the bed as soon as he got laid.
I didn't know what to do. There's a difference.
Mate, but come on. Like, as soon as that full mount was in, Mackie's like, oh well, that's that. Fuck.
Put it this way, we don't need to worry about it. That's four fights in a row. He's fucking gone.
I know. And last but not least,
we'll see him in the UFC again anyway, put it that way.
The only thing I want to other mention is Alex Morono. How good of an MMA fighter he actually is, by the way. Different from when he was just hard to beat back in, like, you think about him fighting like not Reese McKee, but Chaos Williams, Max Griffin, when he was just a totally different fighter, mate. He's absolutely superb. His last three performances, his performance against Cerrone was amazing. Zawada ground that out. Mickey Gall, he made Mickey Gall look amateurish, mate. It was tremendous.
I was really disappointed in Mickey Gall. I really thought maybe he would just fucking take what he does, but I don't know what it is with these fighters that just don't want to do what they do.
But remember, Mickey Gall was this big thing, right? He signed for the UFC at 1-0, and they were saying he was the next big thing. He beat Mike Jackson, then obviously he got the Punk fight. He beat Sage Northcutt, who was the next big thing. And then since then, he's went loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So he's went from being this 3-0, 4-0 starlet, you know, 4 years ago, to now being 7-4 and a guy who just kind of is through the motions almost. Do you know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Like, there's no doubt the guy like talent. There's no doubt the guy's quality. Do you know what I mean? But it's again, he's one of these fighters at the moment that seems to not do what he does best. Did he one takedown attempt on Saturday night?
Who, Mickey?
One takedown attempt.
Like, yeah, one takedown didn't get it, yeah.
What's the fucking, like, that's what you do. I know it's MMA, right? I understand that people have got different ends. You've got to learn different facets of the game. That's fine. But surely you start with a facet of your game that is best. And then if that doesn't work, you then fall back on the other areas of things. So if Mickey Gall had tried 10 takedowns in the first round, never get any of them, and then his coach at the second round went, look, you're obviously going to have to stand with him. You can't get him done. So you're going to have to fucking find a different way. Then you do that. But I just felt like he was never looking to try and really take him down. And I don't see... It's fucking stupid for me. I just think it's mental that you wouldn't really do that. I know he obviously trained to play a bit of boxing as well and stuff like that in his early days. But you don't... You go with your best tactic and then you walk backwards.
Yep.
You don't go, right, well, I'm going to maybe stand and trade with Alex Morono, who's just getting better and better and better, by the way.
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. He's becoming just a totally different fighter every time, and he's absolutely superb.
So, I got annoyed with Mickey Gall because I think there's definitely something there, but it just doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah.
And it just pisses me off. Anyway, I'll stop moaning. I'd like to moan about things, but he annoyed me for that.
Bonuses, okay with them. I mean, Vlismas versus Martin wasn't outstanding, but yeah.
Yeah, the actual fight of the night was probably difficult because there was no one.
You could have taken fight of the night away and given the two to Todorovic and Cap.
Well, that's a fair point. You could have possibly just given it six performances, but I don't think that's... I think that's a couple of events in a row they seem to have given out six bonuses, is it not? Fuck, they only gave two at the last fucking event. But I'm sure you how fucking bad it was.
There's been a few, I'm sure. That was a long
night. Last pay-per-view, 268, they gave out six. Sorry.
Last week was Vieira versus Tate was a very long night, mate. They were all decisions except one.
Yeah, that's why I gave it two bonuses.
Yeah.
I thought Knight Menefield was decent as well. I don't think there wasn't a standout fight of the night. There was good performances within fights. There was good maybe back and forth a wee bit. There wasn't anything on this you're going to go into the year, right? We'll put that in for fight of the night, put it that way.
Yeah.
I think that's what disappointing, I mean.
Right, okay. Moving swiftly on.
Nothing. What are you going to say?
Just going to say, let's do a wee bit on Stamp Fairtex, who won the Atomweight
Grand Prix.
World Grand Prix. I mean, it was a class finish, especially against somebody who can wrestle like Ritu can. Ritu Fogat is she comes from a legendary wrestling family. So for Stamp to, who's Stamp Fairtex will probably admit more than most that she is definitely Muay Thai. She's not a grappler by any sort, but I think that was almost like proving a point. She's obviously wrestled with Ritu and submitted her and went, there you go, fucking boom, have that. Do you know what I mean? Which is...
A fair play to do that. Do you even have the...
Aye, the guile.
Aye. Ritu Fogat's a very... very, very good wrestler. She's considered extremely high level wrestling family in India. To do that and show how good that different facet of her game is as well is fair play to Stamp Fairtex. What I didn't realise at the time and forgot about was obviously this wasn't actually for the belt, this was just for the Grand Prix to then go and fight.
You just saved me going half my nut there because I was about to just lose it there. It very much frustrates me. I understand it happened with your man Mighty Mouse, it happened with him, he did the Grand Prix and didn't win the belt, so I understand. It's just a silly way of doing things for me, it's just silly, but listen, it's the way I've done it. I'm also kind of gutted that the two semi-finals had two lassies who were last minute replacements, Which,
yeah, that was an extreme disappointment because I was really looking forward to Fuga Harata. I remember I was saying that, and
yeah.
And it was one of these fights, it was going to be pure wrestling pretty much. It was going to be two girls just rolling about the floor, and I was buzzing for that, which was weird. So I was really disappointed in that, and obviously, we never got to see the Korean Ham fight stamp as well. So that was disappointing, as you say. Relatable placements seemed a bit stupid. I mean, we'd better just put that as a fucking final straight off the bat.
I know. I'm very much looking forward to Stamp Fairtex versus
Angela Lee.
I was going to say Victoria Lee, but that's the wee sister, isn't it?
I was going to say Andrea Lee is first as well. I mean, there's fucking too many Lees. I was getting pure mixed up there.
Well, no. Andrea Lee, and then you've got Angela Hill as well. There's too many Angela Hills and Lees and Andrea.
It's all just pure mixed, aren't it?
Aye, so... Angela Lee, that'll be a class fight with Stamp Fairtex, mate. Like, that'll be absolutely brilliant.
That'll be a sensational fight, man. I'll be looking forward to watching that. I can't wait till they announce it. Obviously, I don't think they've actually announced that it's officially happening yet, but obviously it'll be good when they eventually do that it's getting made and it's 100% official.
Yeah, right. Moving on to this weekend. What do you want to do first? Do you want to do Cage Warriors or do you want to do UFC?
No, I've got to do Cage Warriors. Get Cage Warriors done.
Right, Cage Warriors, two events this week. For some reason, they're not doing a trilogy, which is a shame, but I suppose it makes it slightly easier to maybe watch some of it. Me and Mark will keep preaching the same thing. If you can access this, please watch it, because you do not get bad Cage Warrior fights. There's the first night on Friday is headlined by the first defence of the Cage Warriors middleweight title by Matt Bonner, who won it last time out. He is fighting a guy from the Côte d'Ivoire, which is Ivory Coast, Jatty Mellan. Honestly, know absolutely nothing about him.
He's not fought for 2 years, which is a bit worrying.
Yeah, he's fought in Cage Warriors like 4 years ago, so who knows what that's about. I mean, I always find it weird that they just bring random guys in, but then they maybe don't have a lot of middleweights.
I can understand that maybe if he had a belt in a different organisation type thing, but to bring a random guy in who's not fought for 2 years and go, there's a title shot, pal. Yeah, that's the one thing I don't understand about Cage Warriors, but that's obviously the way they do their business.
Obviously, the co-main is a lightweight title fight between Hardwick and Mehdi Ben Lakhdar. Now, Ben Lakhdar has fought in Cage Warriors, but not since last December. So again, he's been out for a year.
Last one was Stevie McIntosh, so it shows you how close Stevie probably was possibly a title shot at the time, really.
I know. This is a vacant belt. I can't honestly see anything but George Hardwick winning this, and I can't see anything but Matt Bonner beating Jatty Mellan, if I'm honest as well. But Mellan looks a bit huge, so
I think that's the thing. You don't know what this guy is, you don't know what he's like. If he's a big power puncher, he's won a couple of first round knockouts, stuff like that. So all depends, mate. It'll be interesting to see. I'd probably side with yourself. I'd probably say two belts, so we'll stay with the British guys. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure myself either.
Yeah, we'll see. There's some class fights on this. Justin Moore versus Christian Duncan is a class fight. Christian Duncan is pretty good to watch. Young guy, middleweight, big guy, you know, 6'2" for a middleweight, that's quite big.
That's quite long and lengthy.
So it'll be good to see that.
Thursday night's probably the worst of the two, I would say, but there's some really good stuff on it.
Still some good stuff on Friday, mate. It's always good. That's the thing. Oben Elliott, another good fighter fighting Mathers Flemingas, that's a good fight. There's a couple of French boys fighting as Cameron. I think that's Cameron. It's Cameron. There's a Cameroon flag there fighting as well. So a Cameroonian middleweight, that sounds absolutely fucking terrifying.
I might be wrong, but I'm just thinking Ghana, about 6 inches smaller.
I'm just thinking Rugrug, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, that's for what I know.
He's Senegalese though. Right, so the Friday night Cage Warriors is headlined by the first bantamweight defence of Dominique Wooding against Carlos Abreu. Again, a guy who has come out of nowhere basically to fight Cage Warriors. I know Cage Warriors doesn't have the deepest divisions, so it's maybe just a case there isn't somebody there that can fight for it that wanted it. So that's fair enough. Also, your co-main is Sam Creasy versus Luke Shanks 2. They obviously fought for, I think the belt was vacant. Yeah, the belt was vacant in October. So they're running this back, which will be class, because the first one was fucking class. So that'll be good. But I suppose, oh, there's loads of stuff to get excited about on this card. You've got the Figlak brothers, both of them. You've got Tobias Harila, but you've also got three Scottish boys. There was supposed to be four, but unfortunately Scott Malone isn't on the card as of yet. But you get Stevie Mack fighting Mike Figlak, which, oh, it's one of the ones. It's like the Talia Santos for that. You're back, Stevie, no matter what, but it's a hard fight.
It's a hard, hard fight, but it's also a big chance, really, to put a good name in your fucking resume. That's the thing. Figlak's a fucking good name these days. So
see that? I'm actually thinking, see the winner of that? I think the winner of that fight gets a shot at that title, by the way, telling you.
It would surprise me if they're not getting that shot. They'll not be kicking the ass off it. They don't really would be, mate.
Yeah. We've also got Paul McBain. I'm buzzing to see Paul McBain because I was so gutted last night. In fact, me and Mark both were. We both talked about this. He said it himself. He made one mistake, and it cost him against James Hendon. He was brilliant against James Hendon, and I can't wait to see him fight again. So glad to see him back and active. It's been a while. Obviously, before the Hendon fight, he hadn't fought since October 2018, so it's good to see Paul back. And then, obviously, what?
I was just looking at the boy he's fighting.
Right.
If you look, he's lost like five of his last seven, but if you look at the five names, or four out of the five names, you've got Jack Shore, Mason Jones, Jordan Vucinic, Harry Hardwick.
Wow.
So it shows like the level that, and he's beaten Aidan Lee, that boy, actually, as well. That was a long time ago.
I see that.
Wow, I've never heard him commend. So it shows the level he's at. So.
Yeah. Well, good fight. And then obviously we've got our pal, Aidan Stephen, kicking off the event at catchweight with Edward Walls, who has the most Finnish name I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen one, to be honest, more Finnish than that. That's ridiculous.
He's fought in Cage Warriors before against Stevie Aimable in June.
Stevie Aimable last time out as well. So good chance for Aidan, man.
Definitely a good chance for Aidan. This was a fight that was supposed to happen in October and it got cancelled. So it's good to see Aidan running it back. It's good to see all the Scottish boys. There's so much good Scottish talent up here. So it's about time that people see it on a decent stage. And I think this is a good stage for us to be on. Shame there isn't more of us, but hey, listen, let's take it.
We're a wee nation. We're doing all right for what we are.
Yeah, we are. Right, okay. Cage Warriors done. Right, now the big one. Here we go. So, obviously, this Saturday.
Buzzing, mate.
This Saturday is, well, I'm buzzing because the last pay-per-view of the year, mate. It's the second last card of the year. We're coming towards the end of the year. The end of the year is always fun because then it's award season and then you've got to think about you're looking forward to next year and you and I plan things for next year and we have a look back and we do a retrospective and stuff like that and we see how far we've come and all that stuff. So end of the year is always good. And the last pay-per-view of the year is always notoriously a good one. Looking at this card, there isn't a huge amount that's very, very exciting. But again, it's one of these cards. If you know your UFC rosters and you know your MMA, a lot of these fights are absolutely class on paper. Obviously, headlined by Charles Oliveira's second defense.
First, surely not. Well, I beat Chandler, don't I? No, because I beat Chandler for the vacant title, so this is his first defense.
His first defense. I wasn't sure if it was his second defense.
First defense.
So I mean, there's part of me that thinks Oliveira all round is better than what Poirier is, but if Poirier dings you with either one of their hands, you could break your face in half. So
Oliveira.
Yeah, no, he's got nowhere near as much power as Dustin has. No chance.
I never said that, but it still could fucking knock you out.
Yeah, of course, could knock you out. If it comes down to boxing, though, I can't see Oliveira beating Poirier. But hey, who knows, mate? Who knows? It's very exciting. It's nice when it's two guys with different styles, built differently as well. Oliveira's very like svelte and rangy and lanky, whereas Dustin just looks like a tank. So it'll be interesting.
Mate, it's got to be. I think either way, something tremendous is going to happen with this fight. It's either going to be an absolutely sensational 25 minutes or at some point we're going to get some sort of sensational finish here, or maybe a knockout for Poirier, or Oliveira will fucking choke his neck off or something. There's just something, I think something's just going to happen in this fight. I don't think there's any doubt at the moment that probably the two of them probably are the best lightweights at the moment. In the UFC, obviously, there's a lot of contenders, a lot of guys coming up and under, coming up that really want a shot at the belt eventually, and it'll be interesting to see. I'd imagine obviously some of the rest maybe going to fight Justin Gaethje next as well. So there's a lot at stake, a lot to play for and stuff like that. So as much as it's the belt, there's other things there as well to get your teeth into. It's a sensational fight. Can't wait for it, to be honest. I'm absolutely buzzing to watch this. Sunday morning, because there's no way it's happening at fucking 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'll be like, absolutely. 8 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Absolutely not, mate. Absolutely not.
Tremendous, man.
Co-main bantamweight title. The GOAT is defending her belt against Uliana Pena. Yeah.
Can Pena win?
What?
Can Pena win?
She's in the octagon, so yeah, she can win, but is she going to win? Fuck no.
What a way to put it. Yeah, I'd be surprised.
I just don't see
it's Nunez, isn't it? It's Nunez. It's the point. I feel like it's a wee bit like that. What is the point?
I mean, it depends how focused Nunez is. Nunez just needs to take her foot off that gas for, you know, 30 seconds. And
she's not lost a fight for 7 years.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was just looking at that. It's actually mental. In fact, two of the people she beat have actually fucked off and went to WWE since then. So, that's just...
Look at their names, man. Shevchenko, Tate, Rousey, Shevchenko, Pennington, Cyborg, Holly Holm, Durandamy. It's just... It's the best that you could fight at that level without doubt. Right. Do you know what I mean?
As the only person she's maybe not fight at that level is probably Juliana Pena, because she's not had the chance. But no offence to Juliana Pena. She's just not on the level, mate. It's a shame. It's nobody's on the level. That's the problem.
I just hope she makes a fight. Yeah, I would like to just see something epic involved in Nunez, if that makes sense. Like, I know she is epic. She's tremendous. She's sensational. She'll probably go out and smash fucking Pena inside probably 2 rounds, maybe 3 rounds. I'd actually like to see somebody beat her, so maybe we could get like a wee trilogy. We could get some chat around Nunez that's not just a case of, well, she's sensational. Like, we'll come on next week, right, and she'll beat Juliana Pena within 3 rounds, and we'll go, now what do you say about Nunez?
Nothing.
Don't know. Like, but there's nothing much left to say, is there? No, there isn't. Right, what was the next fight on the card? And that's kind of annoys me a wee bit. I feel like there's just...
But then that's not so much her. That's down to the competition, mate. If there's no big fight...
Is, but that's what I'm saying. I want Pena to be that competition. I would love to see her win to give us that competition.
She holds two belts, and at neither weight class is there anybody who can get near her.
No, I'm not doubting that. I know that for a fact, mate. I know myself. It's just I'd love her to get beat. Not in a bad way. Not in any way, because I'd love to see Nunez lose, just because I want to see some competition and to get some chat about that kind of division again type thing.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we have that. I feel like the division is so stagnant, and it's fucking annoying, to be honest. But there's nothing they can do, because we're watching currently one of the greatest female champions of all time.
Yeah.
So,
the rest of this card, anything standing out to you, mate? I know we could probably talk about it all, but we're tight on the old time tonight, so.
Mate, there's actually some sensational stuff on this for me. I want to see what Cody Garbrandt looks like at 125. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I think that'll be very interesting to see.
Does the power carry?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Does the power carry? Can Kai Kara France Cat handle that power?
I think the Piva O'Malley fight is very, very interesting, mate, because Rowland Piva is a good fighter. He's maybe
that
not.
Was
on
another one I was going to bring out for me, because this is arguably Sean O'Malley's biggest ever challenge.
Well, except Cheeto.
Yeah, apart from Cheeto, aye. Beating that one. All right, there was more to that, but still.
Yeah, yeah. There's loads of class fights. Even if you go right down to the bottom, mate. Ryan Hall versus Derek Minna, class. Randy Costa, Tony Kelly, brilliant. Alex Perez versus Max Schnell. What the fuck that is doing on an early prelim is disgusting. Because that's a
topper, mate. That's an absolute belter fight.
That is a class fight, mate. Even Erin Blanchfield versus Miranda Maverick, two up and comers. Young lassies.
But the thing is, this is like the fourth iteration of this fight, but it's now two different girls to what the first original fight was.
All right, is it?
Because Barbara was supposed to fight De La Rosa. De La Rosa pulled out. Barbara then supposed to fight Blanchfield. Barbara pulled out. Maverick stepped in. So we've got the same fight, but it's now totally different fighters. It's mental, mate.
I actually think it's a brilliant fight as it is now.
It's a great fight, mate. As you say, it's two up and coming fighters, so it should be really, really good to watch, man.
Just looking through this, mate. Andre Muniz, Eric Anders, Jordan Wright, Bruno Silva, Sakai Tuivasa. I mean, it's actually ridiculous. You've got a legend, Dominic Cruz, on this. Dan Ige, Josh Emmett. I mean, one of them's going to end up on their back.
Ige Emmett looks like it's his headline after the prelims. It's a tremendous headline. And the fact that Munoz Cruz is probably on a prelim seems a bit fucking mental to me. I feel like that should be on that main card. I know they're kind of pastors, they're all what, but they're two guys on the other side of the hall, as we say before. And
it's the Sean O'Malley thing, mate. It's the Sean O'Malley effect. Sean O'Malley.
I don't mind that. And obviously, you've got Cody Gart. For me, the one that probably shouldn't be on the main card is actually Jeff Neal versus Ponzinibbio.
But then if you look at the rankings, though, are they not too quite high up in the rankings?
I think
12th and 14th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm no doubting that, but that's it.
Dom Cruz and Pedro Munoz 8-9, so that doesn't make any sense what I've just said, so just ignore that. No, I mean, I agree. I think Dominic Cruz, for him being potentially, you know, the bantamweight goat, potentially, right? You talk about Aldo being the featherweight goat. Dominic Cruz is in the conversation of being the bantamweight greatest of all time in the UFC, and he's not even the headliner of the prelims.
No, it seems mental, mate. Obviously, I brought up Neil Ponzinibbio there, and I'm not dissing that in any way, shape, or form, because I think that's actually a tremendous fight. Yeah. I think that'll be a brilliant fight. But I just feel like maybe give Munoz and Cruz a wee bit of respect for what they've done. I think pushing them up to the somewhere in the middle of that main card. I think Sean O'Malley, Paiva is a great way to start the main card. That'll get everybody buzzing. There'll be a wee bit of hype about Sean O'Malley, because, well, it's fucking Sean O'Malley, and that's what fucking happens. And everybody will be absolutely buzzing for that, and it'll work its way down, and then we'll get that good, decent fight in the middle, and then work its way back up again. So it's actually a really well planned card as well, which is good. There's definitely, I'd imagine Perez Schnell will headline the pre-prees maybe as well. So I think there's definitely things in there that have done very well. And I think
the way it's listed, you've got Muniz versus Anders as the prelim head.
The pre-prees?
Yeah.
No, is that, mate? We'll wait and see.
There's six fights in the pre-prees, headlined by Muniz Anders, Blanchfield Maverick, Perez Schnell, and then down.
Can I see they've been fit? Surely not. Dunno. I'll need a quick look on the UFC website. That'll be the best way to do that. I know we use different things for work information, so I use Tapology and you were using Wiki, I take it.
Use both, mate. I use both.
We'd need to have a look. But anyway, it's a tremendous card. There's some tremendous fights on it, and I'm kind of wait to watch it, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, it'll be class, mate. It'll be class. Right, that's us done a little bit of our review previews for the weekend. Marky Boy, it's your favourite time of the show. Fight announcement of the week and your news.
Let me get my information up. Now, there was no massive fight announcements. There's targeted fights, shall we say. We'll go with targeted fights more than official announcements. And the one I think probably is Blažević versus Rakic.
Yeah, that was pretty big.
That's probably the biggest one of all, and it's a pretty good fight. I'm surprised a wee bit, because I thought Rakic would have went on and fought who was the other one we were talking about? Oh, it's going on, Mina. I'm going to have a look. Can't remember. Anyway, so I'm surprised I kind of made that a wee bit. I don't know why, but I am. Obviously, you'd expect the big check to go on and fight.
Yeah, Glover.
Fight Glover now. So, Aye, but aye, that's probably the best fight I would say has probably been announced so far. Other announcements, what have we got? Jack Hermanson versus Sean Strickland's a beauty as well.
Yep.
5th of February, that'll be a headliner for that that fight night card. So I think Sean Strickland no calling out for a headline slot last time around or something like that, was he not? So he's finally got his fucking headline slot. Fair play on for that, but because he deserves it. What else have we got? Amanda Ribas versus Michelle Watterson. That should be a decent fight as well. Big step up for Manon Fury. The French lassie.
Furo.
Jessica Aye. That'll be a good fight, March 5th, man. That's a good step up for her. She's looked classed the first since she first came into the UFC, so you can't really deny her chance. What else have we got? You've got a half British interest, you could say. Mohamed Makayev, who's signed with the UFC now. Obviously, born in Dagestan, grew up in England. He's making his UFC debut. He's been playing Cody Durden. Obviously, that'll be interesting. That'll be tremendous, especially considering the way Durden obviously made that comment after his last fight. And obviously, a lot of people were hating on him, including Mokaev, who immediately called him out fucking on Twitter. So, that'll be interesting because that could get quite personal at times. So, that'll be good fun. What else have we got?
I'm kind of glad there was probably no show after the Durden thing.
Why?
Don't know. I have controversial opinions on that.
Okay. What else have we got? A couple of releases. The biggest one, probably Kevin Lee.
Yeah, weird, man.
I don't think anybody's surprised, though. I think that's the thing. I think the way Kevin
Lee... Surprised that it was mid-contract.
Well, that's possibly a fair point. But at the same time...
I mean, 1-1 in 5... 2 wins in 7 isn't great, but then you look who he's lost to: Ferguson, Iaquinta, RDA, current champion, and Big Daniel Rodriguez. I mean, the Daniel Rodriguez is the only one in there that you would maybe have expected Lee to win, but then Daniel Rodriguez was on a massive skid. Sorry, a massive.
I suppose you say that his 2 wins were against Edson Barboza and Gregor Gillespie, which are pretty good ones as well. So
the Gillespie one was highlight reel. Do you know what I mean? He's beat Chiesa before that. He had 5 wins on the bounce. You know, he's beaten Matthews, Trinaldo, Mustafayev. Jesus, man. But listen, I hope it does him good. You and I have issues with Kevin Lee. All the talent in the world, but for some reason can't he put it together. So he's away to do his own thing. Hopefully maybe sign with somebody else, build himself back up, maybe come back to the UFC one day, mate.
I'd like to see him maybe go to PFL, something like that. I think PFL, something like that would be good enough. I think that'd be good.
Well, maybe not PFL, because if he fights in PFL, he'll probably be fighting Stevie Ray, and I don't think I want to see that.
Oh, I forgot Stevie signed to PFL. Oh, hi, interesting.
Sure.
The other one was Impica Kasanganai, which I thought was a bit weird, because his record was only 2-2. It seemed a bit harsh.
Yeah. That's Luis Pena get released as well.
Yeah, well, that was... There's a wee bit more to that story, isn't there, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
We'll not go into that. A couple of wee bits of announcements, news. UFC 271 is returning to Houston, back to Houston again. Obviously, good old Texas does what Texas wants to do and doesn't give a fuck about anybody else and just batters in. So, February 2022, 271. Will be in Houston, Texas. I love how I say Houston when I'm talking about America, but here I would just go Houston.
Yeah, but...
Because Houston's like 20 miles down the road to us, by the way, because there's a Houston in Scotland, and that's where obviously Houston gets his name from.
I was going to say 20 miles, it's around the corner, but we don't live in Paisley anymore, so...
No, you don't live in Paisley anymore, so... looks like the headliner for that will probably be Adesanya Whitaker, even though it's not been 100% confirmed yet.
Yeah,
a few other good fights on that as well. We're all saying Moicano versus Hernandez, Madsen versus Vince Pichel, and that'll be the one that Casey O'Neill will fight Roxanne Mosaferi as well.
Her last fight,
So that should be a good card in Houston, Texas. Well, I think I'm going to finish a wee bit of Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
They've announced a $1 million bantamweight Grand Prix 8-man tournament.
Wow.
So, 8 competitors for the tournament with a variety of veterans and champions. Only 2 men competing for gold in Friday's main event. So, Pettis, Horiguchi, Magomedov, Gallagher, Leandro Higo, Patchy Max, Ruffian Stotts, and Juan Archuleta will be the 8 guys in the tournament. There's some tremendous fights to be had in there.
Oh, there is, mate. There absolutely is. Is that Aaron Pico's weight class?
Pico, is, 145.
Is he?
I think he's feather, mate. I could be wrong.
He's fought Leandro Higo. Ah, he is feather. Sorry. I just thought that would be pretty gutting if you're Aaron Pico getting left out of that. But
he's a superstar, isn't he? I can't see that happening.
That's some lineup, mate. Archuleta, Horiguchi, Pettis. My God, man. Stotts, Patchy, Magomedov. Oh, mate. That's
8 tremendous fighters. Usually, maybe in some of these Grand Prix, especially in Bellator, there's maybe 2 that kind of.
When's the draw?
Let's have a wee look. Nah, nothing's been revealed yet. They're hoping for an early start in 2022, so I imagine it'll be before the end of the year, but I've not heard anything or seen anything.
Yeah,
we need to wait and see what happens, and then when that's actually going to be announced, and when who's going to fight who, because there's some fantastic fights in there, my man.
Yeah. Is that you?
That is indeed me, mate.
Well, there's only other one bit of news you've missed that I heard, and that's that Holly Holm's been inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. I thought that was quite a big deal for somebody who's a bit
I did see that one, but I forgot about it, if I'm honest.
She's a bit of a UFC legend, do you know what I mean? She beat that unbeatable champion, you know, no matter what she did in the sport after that. She beat Rousey, do you know what I mean? She beat the woman of MMA. 100%. And I think the fact that she's getting inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame, I didn't realise her boxing record was so good, by the way. I knew she was a boxer, I knew that, but I didn't know her boxing record was so good. I think it's like 33 wins and 5 losses or something, which is actually kind of crazy. 33 and 38 wins and 30, and 2 losses. That's nuts, man.
Man, she's a tremendous boxer. She's been a tremendous mixed martial artist, let's be honest. She is definitely somebody who has came across from boxing and done it, and there's obviously another one in Clash of Shields wanting to do something similar to what Holly Holm's done. So,
I mean, you know the name Mary Jo Sanders, don't you?
Yeah, I know the name.
Right, so she was an undefeated boxer, and she's only got 1 loss in her record to Holly Holm. She was 25-0, you know, like middleweight champion of the world, and Holly Holm beat her. So it just shows, mate, how good she actually was. So shout out to Holly Holm for being inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame.
Well done, Holly.
Right, that's us for this week, guys and gals. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it very much. We appreciate the love. New year. Hopefully, new start for us again. Start again, go fresh, and hopefully we'll be a bit more active. We've got a couple of weeks left, and then it'll be award season. Yes, buzzing. It's going to be hard. I know it'll be hard this year. There's been so many good fights.
Very hard.
So many good events and stuff, despite the no crowd. So, listen, take it easy this week. Have a good one, and we'll catch you next time.